EBC 1 is on the air. Nigel Green reading at 1720 GMT. America, Are You That Stupid? Podcast. But first, live from America, Steve Tavares is Angry Podcast.
I am here to run a police department, not a frat house.
Unfortunately, she's been diagnosed with a brain tumor.
That's not a U.S. president. Okay. That's just the prime minister of Russia defending the president of Russia.
What do you want me to lock everybody up? What is that going to solve?
I am a very ethical person.
I have many Filipino friends. Our children grew up eating rice.
Right. I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Now, if you shoot a little flim, you got a problem.
Mr. Congressman, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Thank you. I would dignify you by peeing on your leg. I don't. It wouldn't be worth wasting the urine. But...
Broadcasting from the city of homes and beaches, Steve Tavares is angry.
So in this thing that I do that we call journalism, very rarely am I just like kind of disgusted. You know, after a while, you just kind of take everything as it comes. And some people will say, well, because, you know, Steve, you're trained to be objective. Well, yeah, but that doesn't exist, and it never has in the history of human nature and journalism, for sure. But it's more like, you know, I just want a good story. You know, I just want a good story, and I don't want you to say that's a good story. Oh, that's an interesting thing that's going on there. But rarely do I get, like, any more, not anymore, I get just, you know, disgusted. And, you know, a couple podcasts ago and a couple stories in the last couple weeks about what's going on in Castro Valley. And, you know, I thought that last week to go and check it out, right, a little bit more. I wanted to feel what's there. Instead, you know, I'm listening and hearing interesting things here. I'm not going to write anything. I just want to feel what's going on. I want to find some trends. I want to, like, kind of figure out who's who and what do they believe and how do they connect. And then you got to look at, you know, Curb Your Enthusiasm, right, with Larry David. That kind of thing when he doesn't believe somebody and he looks them in the eye. Really looks them in the eye. That's good to do. So you got to look at them in the eye. You got to show up and look them in the eye when they speak. I was like amazed what's going on in Castro Valley or what's not, right? So they're not a city. They're unincorporated. They're a large unincorporated city. They rival size of Alameda and San Leandro. Not as big, but you know, not much less, right? So this is a big area, and this is a, you know, people want to live there. Rents are going up too. But they don't have any government. They don't have any government, right? Their government is Supervisor Nate Miley. And so the little piece of government, the de facto city council, is this thing called the Castro Valley Municipal Advisory Council. Advisory. Focus on advisory. Because that's all they are. And so I was watching there, and there was this... a developer who wants to build a medical building there on John Drive by the Three Crosses. Well, everybody knows that. You drive through 238, 580. And I'm thinking, and they're acting, this council, advisory council, is acting like regular councils you see in other boards that have power that are elected. And they're actually very nitpicky, right? Micromanaging. You know, they're like, well, we can... got a bus stop here, and they're Googling bus stops that are in there. You know, we can eliminate this one. We can set back the 10 feet. Oh, yeah, but that's going to take away some landscaping. It's like, what's going on here? So I was like thinking, like, this developer must be like joking, like laughing, right? Because, like, whatever they say, I'm thinking, and this is what I was when I asked around, like, yeah, and it happens. This happens often. So I'm thinking, like, I'm brainstorming, like, okay, if they want this developer to do this, and they're telling them to do this, and then that's what they rule, they vote, whatever, and they send that to Nate Miley. Well, if you're the developer and you don't like it, why don't you just go to Nate Miley then, directly, right? Put a couple coins in his campaign. And that's what happens. And so when you look at this, you realize that 2 weeks before, the chair here, who's connected to Nate Miley, who's given thousands to his campaign, who's like his henchman in that area, right? He's not elected. He can do whatever he want. And like he did, threaten another person on that MAC with expulsion for some reason that he makes up in his head. And I'm watching more and I figured it all out. Is that this isn't a citizens advisory council, a municipal advisory council. This is a Nate Miley special interest advisory council. Because, and it, as far as I know, because all seven of those people are donors to Nate Miley. And as far as I can see back, everybody who's been on it before was a donor. They're all donors. That seat costs something. So when all these people that were brought in by this guy, this chair, Mark Crawford, who is connected to the California Apartment Association and all what we would think are if you're a renter, the evil empire of landlord groups, right? He brings them all in. Nobody talks about this factoid. If Mark Crawford was elected to that seat, he'd be under some sort of abuse of power investigation. This would be a big thing, right? No power. But he brings all these people. And they go, oh, he's so great. And you guys are all so great. It's like a typical Republican thing. Like nobody was attacking all seven. It was just everybody had a problem with his behavior. The one guy, Crawford, if they come in like, thank you so much. All the stuff you do. You don't get paid. Oh, thank you. These people are heaven sent, right? But then you think about it. That seat cost them money. They bought that seat so Nate Miley would pick them. Use your brain. What are they getting? Do you pay? Is it often that you give $1,000, even $200, $10,000 to somebody to get nothing? Maybe to a charity. This isn't a charity. So what are you getting? I don't know, but it doesn't make any sense. I'm going to find out. I am going to find out. But as of right now, it just looks more than a little bit odd that especially person like Mark Crawford, who works, tells people he works extra 32 hours, right? Well, there's other problems there. You have another guy who's even probably more valuable. He's a rancher, equestrian owner up in Crow Canyon named Chuck Moore. And he's definitely a Republican, definitely. He doesn't want any government to tell him what to do. But on that same night at the MAC last Monday, when Latina, she didn't speak English. She has a daycare center. She has, a couple kids. She's allowed for, she wanted to be able to have 14, right? And it's a house in the residential area, but it's zoned for it. So they go back. Chuck Moore comes up. Oh, well, you know what? People live there because they want it quiet, right? And you got to remember, they're running a business. So he wants to limit it. So when it's, Mexican lady trying to provide help, childcare, then government needs to clamp down on business. But it's when it's horses and horse arenas and dirt, maybe dirty dirt, going into his ranch. He doesn't want anybody to tell him what to do. He needs to be able to do these things, right? Even if it means being contaminated dirt, right? Which is a big issue now in East County. But, so we have regulations on how much dirty dirt. Well, he wants to get it as high as he can. Because, sometimes he's going to need that, So it's all about the ranchers, right? So as I concluded this, I just started noticing, I came to the conclusion, this is a special interest advisory board. So when they talk about the county wants to have rules on bringing contaminated dirt into the county, and these ranchers get paid for that. So they're making money. This is a way of making money to take this dirty dirt or whatever level of dirty it is. So when this Mac concludes on that issue, there's no talk of environment. What do the environmentalists want to say? No, they're hippies. Nobody wants to know about the environment, that this arsenic or whatever's in this dirt that comes from construction from all over. What's in it? Will it seep into the water? Will kids in Livermore grow up with three eyes? There's nothing that. It's all about, let's now figure out what the ranchers and what the farmers need. This is a special interest. I'm going to figure out what's going to go on. I promise, Castor Valley. I cannot tell you how unbelievable those meetings are. And frankly, I don't know if you care, if you have any brain in your head and you live in Castor Valley and you care about your town, I frankly, I do not know how you don't go crazy. God, they brought death to my hometown. They brought death to my hometown. Hey! All right, we're in the hot seat now, so turn up the heat on Hayward Councilmember Sarah Lamnin, who's also a candidate for the first time for re-election. First time for re-election. So how is it going? This is a little different than the other times you've run. I mean, You're now the hunted, right?
Right. I'm now the incumbent, which is really a different place to be. But it's exciting. It's going really well. We've raised $40,000 of the $50,000 that we're looking for. We have no outstanding debts. We're starting the field game, so covering, you know, reaching voters, and the endorsements are going great.
Do you like, some people really like going door to door, and some kind of don't really like it. Are you? Is this something that's for you? Because it's hard, right?
It is a lot of work. And, you know, there's 80,000 voters in Hayward, so it's a lot of doors to knock. But I love being at the door and somebody says, hey, what's going on with such and such? Or can you do something about whatever?
Yeah.
And see, and being in a position to actually have that concrete and not just, well, when I get elected, I'll deal with whatever. That's
so,
fun.
So what, when you're out there, and granted it's early, well, what are some of the things people are like, really, are there a couple of things they're worried about or they're really bringing up other than potholes? I mean, if that's potholes, then you can leave that one out because that's everybody, especially in Alameda County. But is there anything that they're bringing up?
Street racing is actually a huge issue for really? A lot of the neighborhoods. And as I'm walking around, I can see where the donuts have been made in the streets.
So I'm not counting the one here outside here on the loop.
Yeah, not that. Although people are not thrilled with that donut either, but that's a sanctioned, if you would, air quotes.
So that is a problem here. So, I mean, is that something that also, that it's also self-perpetuating because they're watching the news and they hear a lot of that in Oakland sideshows? Or is it, have you noticed it as a, in the police department noticing this problem?
Yeah, we actually had a fatality a few weeks ago, and that was exactly the cause. Was somebody was street racing, they didn't see the woman in the intersection, in the crosswalk, and and unfortunately.
So we're on the loop here on the 8500 track. That's always an issue, and every 2 years it seems like that's people complain about it, but. You know, I tell people, like, I know it's an issue, and I don't like it either. But I don't. Is there anything that you can do anymore? I mean, this is, like, set. It's, like, it's built. It's done. State funding and all that. Is there anything that we can do?
Yeah, there are some mitigating factors. Things like timing of the lights. Even, you know, can we reroute the traffic? Can we make B Street two-way, things like that we could do. So this fall we'll have the downtown specific plan coming out either this fall or early spring, and that'll give us some short-term things that we could do without having to revamp the whole thing like you're talking about, and then some longer range things that are would cost a lot of money to do.
So in last couple election cycles here, the loop's been something that you're talking about all the time, but this year I feel there's a definite, like, the number one issue is housing.
Sure.
Affordability, displacement. What can Hayward do? And what does it have? Rather, first, what has it done already? Because there's been a lot of approvals and you know, some of the housing advocates will say, yeah, that's great. It's not a problem of adding. It's, you know, affordable housing. Do you feel like this council done enough? With you? You're on the council, of course.
Yeah. No, absolutely. So I think we've done a lot. I think we've got more to do. So what we've done so far is really focus on the ownership part of the equation, where we needed to increase the supply side of the equation. You know, that starter home that was $50,000, $100,000 is now $500,000, $700,000. So we needed to figure out how to get builders to build. We needed to figure out how to get them to build affordable within the complex as opposed to waiting for someday to build it in a large complex where it's more expensive to build. And we needed to build some accessibility features in there too. So now at least we've sent out that word to the development community that if you're going to build in Hayward, it needs to be complete communities. So that took about a year and a half to get done. We also quadrupled the amount of in-lieu fee that if you're not going to build it affordable in there, first of all, you have to make a really good case, because that's what we want, is right. build it in the complex.
Right.
But if for some reason there's a valid reason to do that, then you're going to pay enough money to actually build units where it was just a pittance before. So we've done all of that. We've just now started on the rental side of the equation. We put a moratorium on decontrol, so we don't lose any more rent-controlled units. And we've made sure that the just cause evictions apply to everybody that they should. Now the next step is to really dig in deeper and figure out what's the right solution for the long term. Because the rent control ordinance we had before didn't really do a lot to control rent.
So, yeah, I've heard, I know that the other night that Mayor Halliday, who's also up for re-election, she was kind of just like throughout, we have rent control. And I know that it's been said in other places, but not really even anymore, right? It's only like 1,000 right. units anymore. It's kind of been, in the argument, it's been whittled down by special interests, meaning landlord, property owners. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that what's going on? This is before you're even on council.
Right.
This has started. I mean, is that total? What is this dwindling of these units that were rent control? How did this occur?
Yeah, it sort of goes back to what I was saying about starter homes and not having that replacement property. The way it was written was everything gets controlled for a little while, and then with the intent of encouraging landlords to improve their property and therefore get a return on the investment by moving it out of rent control. While that may have been nice for the market, it didn't really achieve a goal of maintaining housing affordability within the city. And so I think we really need to come back together with all of the stakeholders and come up with a solution that works for the long term in Hayward. And I have a few ideas about what that looks like, but there's more work to be done there.
I think the fear is that there's a recipe for gentrification, to where you get to the point where if you don't have each segment market rate or whatever, and very low, if you don't have that mix, and you got a recipe for gentrification. And before you know, South Hayward has like $10 tacos, vegan tacos, $10 made by, white people. Like, what? This is the worst thing. And pickled whatever, right? Pickled tacos. $15. That's the worry. I mean, so the other thing is that I worry about is that, so a lot of approvals. About how many units in the last year? This has been a lot, right?
We've approved about 4,000 housing units in the last couple of years.
So how long? So I mean, things happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Approval stuff after, and it's not easy to build something anywhere in the Bay Area. Maybe they find a salamander there, or they find Hayward, they find Indian bones, right?
Sure.
Native American Indian, and then everything stopped. But how long could some of these conceivable, like 2-3 years, could start seeing?
Yeah, it sort of depends on the project and a couple other, and their financing and so on. For instance, we just recently approved the Sohei development. That's 400 units, and they're already doing ground moving. Lincoln Landing, which is also 400 units, got delayed with some legal issues, but that one's scheduled to get moving later this year, early next year. So once that starts, then 1 to 2 years, maybe 3 years, depending on how big it is or how complex the construction is.
Well, sometimes when I've been watching council and making these approvals, and this is not about whether anything else, but other than I start wondering, like, people talk about maybe the economy will fall flat. And so what happens if those apartments or those units come online when, the economy is in a recession or like a serious recession, and then
yeah.
I mean, that's just bad timing. But is that anything? Is that ever crossed your mind?
Oh, absolutely.
Have nothing to think about in council meetings.
We absolutely do think about that, and it's a hard thing, because that fear, right? It's imminent. We're right at that threshold right now, and so everybody wants to build as fast as they can, which means there's less labor available, which means the labor that is available is more expensive, and so then housing cost is even more expensive, and so it becomes sort of this snowball effect of housing prices.
And then if you don't want Trump to be the president, the best way is to have the economy go downhill.
Right.
So then you're like shooting yourself in the foot. I'm like, ah, jeez, I can't win. So now when we talk about the election, mm-hmm. so you know it. So don't correct me. I'm just going to talk the piece, my piece. There's how many? Seven candidates.
Seven candidates.
So it's really a 3-person race for two seats. You, Marvin Peixoto. He always forgets that O. Like, what kind of Portuguese guy is this? And Aisha Wahab. So that's how I see it. It's a 3-person race for two seats. What's the plan? What's the campaign plan? What are you telling people, say, for you to get one of those? You have the power incumbency, so does Marvin. But what are you telling people? What's the pitch when you knock to the door? So we just, yeah. I just moved to Hayward, yeah. Which could happen.
Yeah, yeah.
I couldn't move.
Yeah, come on in.
So
we're building these great new houses. You should come in. So, you know, I tell people that fundamentally I'm not done. I would love to continue doing this work, continue serving the community. We've made a tremendous amount of progress in the last 4 years. There's, especially the last couple years, the amount of inclusion that has happened, people really being involved in the decisions that affect their lives, the Complete Communities Initiative, the work on Tennyson Corridor, new parks, new jobs, investment capital coming into the city. But I feel like we've just started that momentum, and I want to continue to shepherd it through to really make sure that Hayward's on stable footing. And it seems to resonate with people.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast, and good luck out there.
Thank you.
It's going to be some long 70, 65 days or whatever. It's going to be long. You already know.
Yep. But I'm ready for it.
Don't forget to subscribe to Steve Tavares' His Angry Podcast on iTunes and on Stitcher if you have an Android, on other, or go to ebcitizen.com and listen to it there and read all the other shenanigans going down. The campaign season has officially begun, and we are now just a couple months away from Election Day, and it's going to be covered here exclusively, apparently. But in the meantime, I'm Steve Tavares, and I'm angry. And you should be too.